nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
Thank you for coming. For this is the second talk by Dr. Pedro Prieto. Pedro has very kindly come to Purdue to help us explore possibilities of starting a big program in collaboration and possibly research themes that could intersect with our own interests. Like I mentioned, actually, the three of you weren't here yesterday, but Pedro received his doctorate as a Wissenschaftler, right?
Yeah. Doctor Renato.
In 1982, from Aachen.
Oh. Long time ago.
Yeah, it's starting
now. Yeah, oh, fantastic. So, has he promoted in Aachen?
Yeah.
And, okay. How good? Oh, yeah, good.
So,
there are a lot of people that had studied in Germany here. I meet three or four.
So Pedro, after finishing his doctorate in Germany, he became a full professor at Universidad de Bayern, Cali, in 1986. And he's actually been in the university for 35 years now, or more.
A lot of time,
yes. Because he was there even before he went to Germany. But while or since he's been in the Department of Physics, he started some really, really very good groups in research that focus on thin films, heterostructures. You'll hear some of that talk, as well as in the area of nanomagnetism. In fact, he's not going to talk about it because he asked me what would be of interest. He said, which of the two? And, you know, I had to flip a coin. the thing that's happened in Colombia in the last few years is they've started developing these areas of excellence, and they are their equivalents of ERCs, the competitions that were held 6 years ago. And Pedro led a team, a network of 19 universities that won the one on nanotechnology, which is really called novel materials, Center of Excellence in Novel Materials. And so, without further ado, let me
leave the stage to Pedro. Thank you, Professor Raman, and again, thank you for this kind invitation yesterday and today. Unfortunately, I need to leave tomorrow. And I will give two talks today in order to show a scope of the work we are doing in our research center. So, the first part of the talk is on oxide thin film and heterostructure in order to show the work we are doing on magnetic and multiferroic material. So, this is the outline of my talk. So, first a short introduction. The preparation method we have for the production of oxide thin film. I will show some results on oxide thin film and heterostructure, and it will concentrate in the latest work on multiferroic material, especially bismuth ferrite, yttrium manganite, bismuth manganite, and ferroelectric, ferromagnetic composites. Most of this work has been supported for our National Science Foundation Consortium through the Excellence Center for Novel Material. So, in the last 15 years, my group and now the research center has been concentrating ceramic oxide material. We started with high TC oxide superconductor, and shown here grind boundary Josephson junction on a bicrystal of strontium titanate and the YBCO as superconductor. I show you some results on GMR or CMR manganite effect. That is important for magnetic recording, also for spintronics. And I will mention something in ferroelectric oxide. And a combination of this magnetic and ferroelectric oxide, so-called multiferroic, I will show at the end of this talk. This is the system we have in our lab. This is a high-pressure sputtering system. Sputtering system is a method that most of you know to prepare different kind of material in form of thin film. This system work at high pressure means two order of magnitude higher than a normal sputtering pressure in pure oxygen. Normally, sputtering system work in argon, but this is for oxide. What is the advantage of this system? This system can produce high quality, as I will show you, epitaxial thin film on single crystal. And you don't need to have post-annealing treatment because it grow in pure oxygen. This system has three targets. It's a multi-target system. This is where you can put one, two, and three different materials. And with this R computer control, you can move the plasma on the target. So you can produce totally in situ multi-layers. That is very important to produce super lattice, heterostructure, totally in situ without post-annealing treatment. Post-annealing treatment means diffusion of the different materials, and for super lattice is not a good idea. Of course, we need to pay something for this possibility, for this condition, is that the deposition rate is quite low. The deposition rate is in the range of 100 nanometer per hour. But that is also one advantage because you can control the individual thickness of the layer in the range of some unit cells, some nanometer. Here I show the condition for YBCO, lanthanum, calcium manganite in the ferroelectric and ferromagnetic phase. Some example of the sample we can produce in this system. This is here resistivity measurement and function of the temperature for YBCO, this is superconducting material, and praseodymium barium copper oxide as an insulator material. And by using these two material, we have produced heterostructure by using praseodymium barium copper oxide as an artificial barrier. And I show you here this tunnel measurement, two electrodes, yttrium barium or holmium barium copper oxide, as a barrier insulator praseodymium barium copper oxide. At that time, was probably the best tunnel measurement done with an artificial barrier in YBCO. That's almost 10 years ago. Here, same thing with another kind of high-TC superconductor, bismuth strontium calcium cuprate heterostructure. You see here in this cross-section view, very sharp interface between the superconductor, and in this case, this material in which calcium is totally substituted by yttrium, that is an insulator, and here see the electric property and the magnetic property. So we have here heterostructure with non-superconducting material that show very sharp superconducting transition. This one of, I'm very proud of this work. This was stack step Josephs of Johnson using bismuth superconducting. Here is an sketch of the, of this Johnson. And what we have here with this structure is a set of Josephs of Johnson of atomic level. That means this is copper plane, and here the other part of the superconducting material. And we have here a stack of Joseph von Junction in this case for this thickness of 120 nanometer. We have 80 Joseph von Junction in series. And we have here an IV core in which we have a supercurrent at voltage around 1.5 volt. That means we have a series of Joseph von Junction, intrinsic Joseph von Junction. After this work, we start with magnetic material oxide, the so-called lanthanum calcium manganite. This is a very interesting system. You see here in this phase diagram, the magnetic phase diagram, that for low calcium concentration below 50%, you have a ferromagnetic phase. For higher calcium concentration, you have an anti-ferromagnetic phase. So only by changing the calcium concentration, you can change the ferro to anti-ferromagnetic behavior. This is due to the fact that we have manganite with different valence. And we produce this type of material. Here is a structural property of this thin film, this oxide thin film, as you see here in this TEM image. We have very nice epitaxial grow on strontium titanate, high quality epitaxial thin film. The electric and magnetic property of this epitaxial thin film are shown here. We have an electric transition from an insulator to a metallic to at the same temperature from a transition from paramagnetic to ferromagnetic. And I show you here also the hysteresis curve up below this temperature, in this case 5 Kelvin. So the electrical and magnetic property on the structural property of the film is quite good. So we combine this type of magnetic with superconducting material. As you know, magnetism and superconductivity are not very good friends. But we combine this type of material and we obtain here, in this case, this bilayer, a transition from insulator to ferromagnetic and to a superconducting structure. By using this type of material and the possibility to produce total in situ, we start with the production of superlattice, ferromagnetic, by using the phase ferromagnetic phase and the anti-ferromagnetic phase. We produce a set of multilayers with very sharp interface. And using this kind of structure, when you have a ferromagnetic in contact with an anti-ferromagnetic, the hysteresis curve shows the so-called exchange bias. The hysteresis curve moves to the left, to the negative side of the magnetic field, and we have done a lot of study about the behavior of this exchange bias, function of the temperature, a function of the thickness. And one important issue in this kind of heterostructure is the so-called colossal magnetoresistance, a variation of the resistivity of the multilayer, a function of the magnetic field. That is one of the more important issue in this type of material. We start also some work with ferroelectric material, PCT, this normal PCT, and we use as electrode strontium ruthenate as electrode in order to avoid the problem in this capacitor structure, the fatigue. The fatigue appears because you have an interface between a ferroelectric and a metallic, and there are some problems with vacancies of oxygen at the interface. But if you use an electrode, an oxide electrode that will show a metallic behavior, this problem is reduced. And as you see here, the fatigue, the remanent polarization, a function of the number of cycle, positive, negative, remains around 90%. That is quite good. So normally at only 10 to the 6th cycle, you have a reduction of the remanent polarization around 20%. And that is a very good result by using this kind of structure. Okay, so we have superconducting magnetic material, ferroelectric material, and so the next step is try to produce multiferroic materials. In the multiferroic material, you can change the remanent polarization by the magnetic field, the remanent magnetization through an electric field, or you can make change by changing the magnetic, the pressure in the system. This opened the possibility to have different kind of devices in which you can control the magnetic property through the electric property or vice versa. But the problem is this effect is not very often in the nature, so you need to have some ideas in order to have this possibility. One of these is try to combine a ferroelectric and a ferromagnetic material by using composite material through superlattice or by using composite. This is one example of by using barium titanate as ferroelectric and cobalt ferrite as magnetic material. Here are some results of this. And so we used our spatter system, that is not a large one, it's a small one, in order to produce this kind of material. We proved with yttrium manganite, bismuth ferrite, bismuth manganite, by using this system. We use our substrate silicon covered with platinum and titanium oxide as electrode, as conducting electrode, and as bottom electrode we use normally silver or gold or platinum. I show you some example of this thin field. This is a structural characterization. Also, you see here a very nice grow this thin field, very flat, smooth field. In the case of bismuth ferrite on silicon covered with platinum, you see here a highly oriented face. In the case of yttrium manganite, and yeah, sure.
I'm not in the field, but as I look at this, one of the things that comes to my mind is, you know, sort of the role of computations when you prepare these structures. What is the interplay between computations and the kind of structures you're making? You know, ideally, you would like to do computations to predict a certain kind of performance out of a heterostructure and then go and make it. How does that work? I mean, where do computations play a role in this? Right, so,
So you have two types of material. In the case of manganite, so you change only the calcium concentration in this case, and you change from a ferromagnetic to anti-ferromagnetic. That's two different materials with almost the same structure, with the same chemical composition. And so now you can grow this as an epitaxial structure, almost without strain. So you have, in this case, a field with ferromagnetic property and the other with anti-ferromagnetic property. You put a field, a magnetic field. So at the interface, there is a competition between the spin of the two materials oriented in direction of the ferromagnetic or anti-ferromagnetic. On this conduce to this exchange bias effect. That is an effect of the competition between the two properties.
My question was computation. Theory and modeling.
Totally married. Yeah, also, what we do is material. Also, we don't have too much with computer simulation of this thing. There are a lot of work done in this kind of material in order to explain this chief of the bismuth. There are a lot of work, but we don't have the people to do also modeling on simulation of this kind of thing. Okay, so this is our system for ferroelectric measurement. So I need to prepare capacitor structures by using silicon and platinum substrate on this kind of ferroelectric or multiferroid materials and other electrode through a shadow mask. And this is our system for ferroelectric measurement. It's a radiant technology system. For the magnetic property, we use our PPMS for magnetic measurement. And here is one of the example of this multiferroic property in the case of yttrium manganite. That is the polarizational function of the magnetic field and also a magnetic behavior, the magnetizational function of magnetic field in this case. In the bismuth ferrite, you see here a nice hysteresis curve in ferroelectric, also in the ferromagnetic, also in the bismuth manganite. This is the polarization of function of the magnetic field at different temperature for this kind of bismuth. And this also the magnetic property of this bismuth manganite epitaxial thin field. This is one of the paper we have published on this bismuth manganite in solid state physics. And one of our latest work is the magnetoelectric effect. This is the system we have in our lab for this effect. And we are using a locking technique in order to obtain this effect. And the idea is the following. And so you have the magnetization that depends from the electric field and the polarization that depend of the magnetic field. This is the idea. And we want to have this so-called magnetoelectric coefficient. And here is some result recently published in the Journal of Applied Physics for bismuth ferrite thin field function of the magnetic field on also as the frequency of the magnetic field. So this field show or this ferroid properties as pure field and epitaxial thin field. So as I say you the other possibilities try to produce composite and we made some recent work on ferroelectric material lead-free, not PCT, but in this case, lantan, zircon, titanate, and cobalt ferrite. So we have produced this for, by sputtering. We had to produce a target by mixing the bismuth, lantan, zircon, titanate, and cobalt ferrite oxide in the our sputtering system. And here see the X-ray diffraction pattern of this field. You see here the structure of the ferroic and the ferroelectric BLCT and magnetic CFO. Here is more detailed analysis of this structure for this composite. And here an XPS analysis and same image. As you see in the same image, this black dot that correspond with true XPS analysis to correspond to cobalt and iron rich zone embedded in a BLCT matrix. So when we do analysis of this thing, so we saw that we have pillars, ferromagnetic nanopillars in a ferroelectric matrix with average distance of around 200 nanometers, and the pillar is around less than 50 nanometers. And this explains one of these behaviors of the ferroelectric and ferromagnetic property in this kind of composite. As you show here, the result in our sample, and here the result in resin result in, with the CFO and PCT. In this case, we don't have PCT, we have barium lanthanum zirconite, and here I compare the result of this one. For the ferroelectric measurement, we used the setup in the University of West Virginia in order to have the magnetic and ferroelectric property, a function of the temperature. You see here different ferroelectric measurement, a function of the magnetic field. And the result of this study show you a relationship between the permanent remanent polarization and function of the magnetic field, a reduction of the magnetic or remanent polarization and function of the magnetic field, very clear in this kind of composite. What we are doing now is trying to produce a not composite but a super lattice, ferroelectric thin field and ferromagnetic thin field super lattice. Here are the field results by using barium titanate and lanthanum manganite as super lattice. Okay, this is a rapid view about our work on oxide thin field. Also, as I show you, superconducting magnetic, ferroelectric, and multiferroic by using this approach to produce high quality epitaxial thin field by using our multi-target sputtering system.